But I believe the one that you should talk to is a gentleman called Carl Bryant, who is a remarkable person, and I believe that in the tribal terminology, he would be called a medicine man or a holy man. Well, you're going to learn that Little Crow may be totally medicine-oriented, but he is very far from holy. If you have mucus stringing from your nose, he may very well call it snot. And no holy man would do that, you see. Everything is sacred. Everything is connected. Everything is. Period. Well, I want you to hear it from him. I especially want Eustace to hear it from him. He had told Dorma within the last 3 years that he had gone through many, many sessions. One at the time that he was trying to discern from her how far she was in her journey, because he knows it, she knows it, and I know it, that he has been the guide. He has been the guide. Without any more contact, literally, than she has with Eustace. But he gets his message across to her, so he calls to find out where she is, and he had a little something to share. He had collapsed at a wedding ceremony where he was not the groom that you would expect to collapse, but he collapsed, the officiator. And when the paramedics got there, his temperature was somewhere above 107, and he was gone for several hours to visit with me. And he wanted to share that with her because he said, I'm not any longer the person you know. I'm not Carl Bryant. It's over. Carl Bryant does not exist. And we are getting on to beginning to recognize our true identities, our true purposes. And that's the thing that all of you get hung up on. Well, what is exactly my purpose? Nobody can tell you your purpose. And when they start telling you your purpose, run like hell. Because when you have arrived at recognizing your purpose, you'll get your purpose done. And in the month ending December, ending by that I mean the end of your December, Little Crow spent 6 days in agony, in ecstasy, with a temperature that never dropped below 106, in and out and in and out, but he's healed. And he's not even Little Crow. So he will identify himself. He has appeared to all of you as many things. And some of you recognize some of his titles and some of his labels, but we're not going to go into mysticism. This is spiritual. This is reality. You live in a confused, make-believe world of illusion. Reality is that part of self that is truly you. And in these days, it is easier to replicate the body you. And now they have learned to DNA structure something from egg and DNA that will produce a downloaded brain entity. Mind. The replications had to be downloaded mechanically. But that had gotten very easy to do also. And if you think one sheep in Scotland is the whole of it, then you're nuts. That's all. So we have to become very comfortable one with another and realize that God will clear the way and provide you with what you need. But don't expect him to do it for you, because that isn't going to happen. This world is what it is. It will be changed by what you are. And if it can't be done this time, then I suggest you get very, very close to God. So you've got your ticket off here. And some will say, oh, well, I think I'll just wait and get off here. No, it doesn't work that way either. Intent. Remember, even in this law case, intent is the issue. Dorma may have intended to do a lot of things. Insulting Judge Coyle was not among them. She's thought of it since. But we try to suppress this. Because immediately someone will go tell. You see, the monitoring system, if everybody will remember what was said in there by Seymour, doing his mouth flapping, he said, you see, they even set up a monitoring system. They knew they were going to write and bring contempt upon themselves and toward this judge. There are 200 books the lady's written. Do you really think she has time to run and have a lot of contempt intentionally for a judge? You could throw out all of the books in point, and she wouldn't even miss them. She can't even name them now. We turn out a book in a week. Even the editors can't keep up. And we've cut our writing down. But you've got to clean up and turn around, revolve, revolution, the system. And you're not going to do it by grabbing your unfringed flag and walking in there and giving it this in front of him. That's contempt. Everybody understand, that is contempt. If you're going to bring your flag, then you bring it reverently, because you're also insulting your own flag if you simply use it for your own gain. If you replace a tyrant with another tyrant, you still have a tyrant. So why don't you base your approaches on what you claim you want, constitutional rights as citizens under the common law? Well, the common law, what you think of the common law, originated in England. Well, we sure don't like England. I mean, now that they also brought the Admiralty Law. Common law in itself means law of the people. Law under God in justness. Very, very reasonable relationships. Forget your keeping Sabbath. That's man's law. You can't even decide which is a Sabbath. 6 day, 7th day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. When is Sabbath? It's whatever a man decides it's going to be for his own convenience and power. And why don't you just let your, well, I almost said let your spouse die, rather than pick up your work tools and go to work on him, her. But that's not a good example, is it? Let us suppose it is your best producing dairy cow. Oh, we don't milk on Sabbath. That's work. I just honor God all day on the Sabbath, up and down. Let her bag burst. Yeah. No dairy farmer is going to let her bag burst. And if it is a Jewish farmer who is Khazarian in intent, and that means simply commercialized and anti-God, by the way, he ain't going to let her bag burst. It's called money. So you want to keep the Sabbath holy, and you want to be brought to the synagogue, that's so you can give your money. So let's get those commandments whittled down. You can read them and know which ones are God's commandments and which one man conjured up, stick in there so you would know. Just like they do the law from the bench. You don't know. So in your lack of knowledge, they can get you. You never know what hit you. And you're in there, or you're paying big fines, or you're running around wondering once again, how did this happen? How did we let it happen when we didn't even know? Well, it's handed down from generation to generation, and after three generations, it's over. It's the lie of the Holocaust. Was it a Holocaust? No. Oh, listen to him. Blasphemy. Schindler will get you off his list. Bullshit. That's what it is. I'm not saying there was not atrocity. There were incredible horrors, but guess what? They were perpetrated by their own people. But more than that, in a concentration camp where everybody is starving and typhus or typhoid breaks out, you're going to lose a lot of people. And if there is no food, they're going to starve to death. And Mr. Schindler brought them into his factory to do slave labor. And how do you get to be a god later? He saved us. He used them. Was there a Holocaust? What does Holocaust mean? It means complete annihilation or conflagration, usually by fire. The nearest thing that the... Let's go back and study revision, because I almost use the term revisionist, and I have to clear this one up before I can finish my statement. Who are the revisionists? The ones who change truth of history into the lie of history, or the one who comes back now and says, you lied. History will prove this. There weren't as many Jews in Europe as are getting restitution now in 1997, over half a century later. Yes. Get with it. Hallelujah is appropriate also. Let's get with reverence and respect. I'm just waiting for the accolades to die. Do you see, it could not have been like you're told. That does not, in fact, diminish the horror if it only happened to one person. But the lie diminishes the honor unto the one or the many that were sacrificed. This is exactly like your Jesus Christ. Paul, his deadly enemy, Saul of Tarsus, named this man Jesus. He was not born, and they called his name Jesus. He was born Jesus Emmanuel. After the fact, and all of you who want to put such connotation on the good book, German scholars took out of at least 28 Gospels and chose the four that would go into the good book because they more succinctly agreed with each other from what they could find and put together of the fragments. No part of the book was written until over 300 years, that's over three centuries, after this man walked on the earth. Now, let's go back to crucifixion. At the time of the crucifixion, his name was not even called Jesus. Do you think he said, "Oh, I'm going to save all you brothers who are going to nail me to this damn cross"? I don't recall that he walked up there and said, "Pilate, take me instead of this murderer." That's called stupid. And of all the things a man was not, it was stupid. Believe me, I think any one of you would either pass out or you'd struggle just a little bit when they start nailing nails into you. And what are you going to do when the whole army's there holding you down? Submit and say, "I'm here to volunteer"? Quit this. Nobody is going to save anybody's ass. You have got to do it yourself. And you're not here to save this world. You're here because you have a mission and you would like to see it in balance under God with liberty and justice for all. Or it becomes unworthy of your higher intent to even play in the game. So if you are willing to serve, I don't want any martyrs. That's been done. God needs some live bodies that are intelligent enough to know what it is you're even trying to accomplish. And if all you want to do is go into a courtroom and win your case through any method, but preferably a lie, you haven't done anything. You have lessened your own truth, and you will accomplish nothing. And if you win, you've accomplished nothing worthy of you. It could not have been a Holocaust as defined. The only thing remotely resembling anything that could be called a consummation by fire were the supposed ovens. Those were crematoriums. How else are you going to handle the number of dead bodies that are infected, if nothing else? So let's just not even talk about Mr. Schindler and these awful doctors. Oh, yes. They were there. But hold them responsible for the truth of it and not the lie of it. Because those doctors, the Mengeles of the world, emigrated to the United States of America. and it was called Operation Paperclip. They became you. Don't you see? You have become the evil empire. And right there you can see the misuse of the pronoun you. Who is you? Everyone in this room would throw up their hand, not me, not me. Then name who? Well, do you want to start with Mr. Rothschilds or Mr. Rockefeller? Who do you want to start with? Do you want to start with the Illuminati? The old Masonic lodges? Do you want to start back in New York? Where do you want to start? Where do you want to start to cover this Holocaust? Well, anybody who doesn't bother to find out what happened then cannot possibly know what is going on now. If you don't know what the justice system was, how can you possibly deal with improving it? If you cannot see behind the secret shrouds, how can you change it? Well, we can go to war. No, you're going to go to war. You're going to go to war because the blacks are going to get irritated enough. And you're finding some of those ones that really got a lousy treatment from their Christian brotherhood are going to become just like Mr. Chavez of you, of the AACP, whatever it is, becoming a functioning brother Islamic party with Farrakhan. Now, do I agree with everything Mr. Farrakhan says? Come on. You are imperfect human beings, and I'm an imperfect angel. Let's quit playing games. Let's quit playing games. Quit trying to discern whether you think Mr. Simpson killed those people or not. He was judged in one of those just courts. He's not guilty. Then he was tried again with an even better fixed court and found guilty. It was a civil matter, so guilt or innocence was not up for grabs. Just how much Mr. Goldman could extract. You see, he is being totally supported by the ADL and the JDL, the World Jewish Organization. And the ADL is nothing in the world but a Tavistock Institute extension branch of British intelligence. It's so discouraging, isn't it, when it boils right back down to the nasties. Well, even Mr. Simpson may finally get so frustrated that he will hear what God's trying to tell him. You can do a service, sir. Out of all of this insanity, you can do a service. Now we have to go all the way across the world to Libya. Mr. Gaddafi. Do you think Mr. Gaddafi's so awful? Do you think he's a worse evil empire leader than Mr. Bush? And if you answer yes, then you better go get the last five journals and study them. Mr. Gaddafi is trying to hold on to his country because all of the rest in the area have fallen to the Bush boys and Barrick Gold Company, who comes along and steals all the wealth of the nations. Yours gone so long ago that it is not even up for grabs. So we're not even going to let Mr. Farrakhan get a humanitarian award from that awful Hitler associate, Gaddafi. Well, sounds completely outrageous, doesn't it? How much more outrageous would it be if I said, I know Mr. Gaddafi very well, but I'm not going to walk over there and cause Doris to get really thrown in prison by shaking hands with Mr. Gaddafi. So if you think you have some little perturbations in front of you that make your journey a little bit more difficult, please have mercy on the angels. On the host, on God. He's just watching to see what you will do with what you have to play with. He didn't have to do anything else to measure your entire existence before now, your entire soul intent. Just watch what you do, what you think. Does that mean because Mr. Bush doesn't like Mr. Gaddafi and Mr. Reagan chose to try to bomb him out and kill him and only got an innocent child, that it's right? I mean, after all, Mr. Reagan has Alzheimer's. How convenient. I'm sure that's what's the matter with Dorma. Especially in the courtroom, she can't remember anything, including her phone number. But she can verbatim? Come on, that was only a little portion in that courtroom of even Walter Russell's material. I can just hear it now. Please, lawyer Seymour, define habeas corpus. Yes, sir, it was the thing they called the Magna Carta. You just flunked. It was the Bretton Woods Agreement. I mean, this is the way they function. There is a definition of habeas corpus. There is a legal definition, often changed, of the Bretton Woods Agreements. And then we can go directly to what has destroyed you and where Mr. Eustace Mullins did all the research. And as far as I am concerned, is the authority on the Federal Reserve System and the rape of justice and murder by injection. And if you haven't read them, get them, and don't ever own up to me you haven't read them. Because if you read those three of his presentations, you'll be more informed than 99% of all of the people on this globe. And we're going to talk about plagiarism. This man would have given permission to anybody who simply said, hey, do you mind if I copy your book? And how do I know? Because he gave us permission. His work has been more copied than any one person's work on this globe. Next to the journals, his are the most destroyed books to get them out of circulation. So I don't want any of you owning up to me or denying it to me. Just get the books and study them. You have got to do this job from earth level. The information is there. The truth is there. Any embellishment of revelation I'm stupid. Just keeps coming into my vocabulary today. You don't need revelation and psychics and magic. You need to get your head screwed on right in reason and logic and get informed. You see, Eustace would say, I'm not special. That's what makes him special. And he might say today, why have you hauled me in here with my creaking knees into this cold room? In where? How do you spell that again? T-E-A-C-H-O-U-P-E? What am I doing in Tehachapi, California today? Oh, just saving the world. This just happens to be it. Everywhere else we've tried has become a great big show and tell, ridiculous circus. We either have the intent and ones finally gather and remain and do not fall to the wayside who have that intent to move forward, to reclaim, to get a remnant through. And it requires great diversification, and it requires great sums of that which you seemingly do not have enough of. So we have to work on that. Now, when we do begin to get some, do you understand what happens with people? What happened when you got $350,000 in gold coins? It got buried, didn't it? And stolen. Well, I am not going to go through what we are going through internationally and putting Dorma's neck on the guillotine block. You see, we even mispronounce that as a guillotine. And you're not French, so just quit that back there. We have to do it right, don't we? And everybody is always outguessing God. Well, it's God's plan. And I quit outguessing him a long, long time ago. I try to humbly listen to what he might have to offer. And then I try to reason and see the logic in the methodology. And then there are some things I don't want to know. And there are a lot of things I certainly do not want Doris Ecker to know. Why would I, her teacher, the one who cherishes her, why would I string her up against the poles to be shot? So some things we leave to our brother, because the brother knows what he's doing. And he knows where to go. And can we not be patient enough to see when the brother is filled with intent of proper proportion to serve? Does he have to be perfect? Does he have to be in tune with what you think? No, because I wouldn't want that. Because I know what you think. And it wouldn't lead us anywhere. Except in a circle or back into more trouble. But there comes to be a time of ability. And we are hooking up with some who have the ability. And it has taken 10 years to find them through the proper sequence of meetings. It would have been silly for Eustace Mullins to come out here, for instance, while George Green was still here. He got to see enough of him on the seminar circuit. But it's fine today because we've grown. We're not as silly. We're getting more professional. Well, we've put aside ego structures. Well, not everybody has. And that becomes absolutely visible, doesn't it? By the actions. you shall be known, and by the associates you keep. And there's something very important to go down right now. Right now, without any discussion or argument. If you are going to accomplish anything, you're going to get rid of these little ego monsters. I am not talking about persons. I am talking about the egos that say, I have to be right. I have to be the last word. I, and me. You have got to outgrow the I stage and at least move into the we stage. And then when you can move into the you, I am more concerned about you than even we, you'll be able to know what to do. And this is why I am interested in you, as in Judge Coyle, when we make a response. If we stop being so confounded interested in winning or ourselves, we will give him. But we'll allow him to have no choice but to make the right decision. If, in fact, the case is about Doris Eckers' intentional contempt of Judge Coyle, there is no case, is there? He hasn't even had a hearing number one from this woman until the 18th, and she told him what his case is about. So we can go right back to US&P bringing these charges. US&P is a corporate entity. They worked on a non-profit basis as long as they could get away with it. Eustace remembers when they bought Swannanoa. He used to play there as a child. And since when have you set up your major spiritual or educational institutions called universities? What do you suppose the word university means? Dr. Tracy, would you care to give us a little enlightenment on what university means or universal?
Started in Paris and Rome in the 1500s, growing out of religious schools that were held in the churches when very few people could read and write. And so they've been kind of the place where the elitists have done their degreeing of people. But in America, we have a whole different tradition now. And going to university is considered practically a right of any youngster, and it sort of is part of the public education system anymore, that we have the privilege to use our minds to the fullest extent. It goes back to Ben Franklin and public libraries, and
isn't that discouraging? Thank you. But isn't the idea to be able to give a diversified education? Isn't a university something that you image in your mind, at least from the definitions as it has evolved, into a place where you might go study law, medicine, history, languages, art? Well, do you think that something that has its entire campus structure a palace, not a Swannanoa hall? It's called Swannanoa Palace. Now, what would palace? You know, even in the song, every man's home is his castle. What do you think when you hear palace? Somebody, right off, what do you think? Royalty. And yet royalty is not necessarily what you think of anymore as royalty. It can be the epitome of respect. But do you see what words do? And if the court system has one definition for a word and you have another, you're going to lose. Why? Because they have the power and force to cause you to see it differently. We have to be brave enough to begin to structure things so that the judge is required to look at what is there in front of him. And you must be succinct. You must be explicit. Everybody hear me. All court cases are built on total implicitness to protect the guilty. So when you go back in there, you go back in there explicitly laying forth what this case is about. And if you have a word you want to use, you define it so that the judge and you are required to have the same definition. You see, it should be that they have to come through and define explicitly what they mean. So if you are writing, you explicitly define a word. What I mean, Your Honor, is. Never mind the word. You can write yellow in there. As long as you define it, and both of you know what is meant when you say yellow. But try explaining yellow. Anyone care to explain yellow to me? Blue?
Chicken.
It is the combination passing through the prism at a frequency of. And there are at least seven of those basic tonal frequencies. Now, how am I going to explain this? Eustace, do you suppose, without using some of the very language that Walter Russell used? Or should I use code words? Or should I speak in Swahili? None of you would understand that. I mean, can't you see this paper written in Swahili laying before the bench? Your Honor, look how contemptuous they are of you. They make fun of you. Doesn't Judge Coyle speak Swahili? Then how can he judge what Walter Russell wrote when he sat on the bench the first day and said, I really haven't ever heard of Walter Russell. And he still couldn't care less. But when you bring God into the courtroom, he wants him out of there. Don't you understand? The game is to get God out of the courtroom, out of your lives. And when I use you, I mean it this time. Because the you of you is your spiritual, frequencied soul essence. That's all there is real about you. And the moment that is severed away from your body, body dies. And